All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. My name is John Schmalk. Sorry, a little technical difficulties here. I was trying to kind of working on that, trying to get the show going here early this morning on this Thursday. Now everything's up and good. We should be good to go. No open. We'll have everything resolved for tomorrow. Don't worry about it. We have a very busy show. We'll be taking your calls, of course, at 201-939-4513, and we will be talking to you on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. We'll also be joined by Dane Brugler at 10 a.m. He's from CBSSports.com, NFLDraftScout.com, and he's going to talk some NFL draft with us, kind of give us the lowdown on what the latest rumblings are in terms of where guys might land in the NFL draft coming your way next Thursday. Thanks for joining us. A couple other bits of news I want to touch on, before we get to Dane at 10 a.m., and, of course, your calls. A couple of mock drafts got released yesterday. The two big ESPN guys are both insiders. I'll give you a little bit of an idea of what went down there. Both Todd McShay and Mel Kiper Jr. Releasing their latest mock drafts. I think they were version 5.0, if memory serves me right, for both guys. One of them had the Giants taking Zach Martin, offensive tackle and offensive guard, and other things that have kind of been sliding around the internet this morning, kind of indicating that Zach Martin could sneak in to the top 10 this year. That's how fast his draft stock is rising. So something to keep an eye on, people liking Zach Martin, maybe even passing Terrell Lewan now on a lot of people's charts here for the 2014 NFL Draft. That's number one. And then Todd McShay had a name that I've been kind of mentioning more and more the past few days that could be a factor for the Giants at 12, and that's Odell Beckham Jr., a guy that's kind of jumping up draft boards a lot. He's playing good football. He's not big, but he's a bigger guy at 5'11". He could probably play outside. Some people project him as more of a slot receiver, but he's somebody that could be in the mix for the Giants at number 12 as well. So just two new names out there that we can talk about right here on Giants.com at 201-939-4513 or at hashtag Giants Chat. Really not a whole lot else going on. There are some rumors out there that the Falcons are hot and heavy, trying to move up to get into that number one spot. A story this morning that the Bills might be interested in trading up. Mike Pettine, the coach of the Browns, saying it would be ideal if we did not have to think quarterback with the fourth pick in the draft. We could get one later on. That would be ideal if we could get the same type of talented player, but that might not be the case. So we'll see if the Browns end up picking Johnny Manziel at four, which seems to be what I would consider the, how could I put it, the, chalk pick is that is a, that is what they would be looking at the number four is Johnny Manziel. That seems to be one of the more common predictions out there. We'll see what they actually end up doing, but that is certainly something to keep an eye on, what the Browns do at four. Then, of course, the other teams that could pick a quarterback. What are the Texans going to do, the Jaguars, the Raiders, the Titans, and even the Minnesota Vikings at 8. So those are all things you can keep an eye on as we move forward here, right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Let's get to the phones before we're joined by Dane Brugler coming up at 10 o'clock, and let's start the show with Joe in Pennsylvania. Joe, what's going on?
Good morning. Great show. Glad to be a Giant fan and be able to call into you. I'm a big Yankee fan, too, and the Yankees are doing great with a lot of young players early, and I can only hope the Giants would have this early success, too. What I want to talk about, I hear everybody in the draft, take this guy, this tackle, or take this tight end, or even this running back or linebacker or even receiver that they mentioned yesterday. And the guy, that receiver, He looked like he could be as strong as Nix or Bolden to me, with a great breakaway speed and strength of, remember, Rice and Taylor. Taylor with the 49ers.
Who are you talking about? What receiver? Mike Evans?
No, the one you said from LSU.
Odell Beckham Jr.
Right. He looks like a clone with the strength and size to me as of Taylor from with that breakaway speed with the 49ers. And I said, I thought if you dress them both in uniforms, I couldn't tell the difference when I saw him break away. And what I'm trying to get at here, with all these good players and the depth that the Giants look at, everybody's saying, take this one, and everybody has their ratings on them. What the Giants need, and with the depth of this draft, wouldn't you or the Giants look at the top two or three players that be available. That's since they're there. And rate them overall, like the tackle, a tight end that would be there, that we have these ratings, even this receiver or a running back. And you get a higher number altogether as a combination said, like, say, your tight end is rated number four, Ebron. But then you have two players, a tackle, and another tight end rated threes, that comes to six. You know what I mean? In a rating overall where you have a tight end at four and then maybe down the line somebody else is only rated two available.
So, Joe Larger, your point is that you should it should affect who you pick in the first round based on who you can get at the other positions later in the draft so you get the most value out of all your picks.
That you think be available. If you have, you know what I mean, that's available, these tackles or tight ends.
No, Joe, you're 100% right. When the Giants pick at 12, what they're going to say is that, you know, when they ask themselves the question, should we take a wide receiver at 12, they're going to ask themselves, well, what's the deal here? Can we get a wide receiver in the second round that's almost as good as the wide receiver we can get at 12? If that's the case, they're probably not going to take a wide receiver at number 12. But if they at the same time say, look, you know, we pick Eric Ebron here at 12, and we don't think another tight end's, you know, even close to him in our rankings, they're probably more likely to take the tight end. So they will try to project a little bit based on position depth where they're going to get the most value on in terms of who they pick in what round.
Well, that's what I was thinking. And with these depths, you know, and a lot of these players and everybody has them rated just a little higher or a little lower, where I think the Giants are in a great position and possibly – where they're at, even with these quarterbacks that you are saying, that somebody might, you know, these quarterbacks might drop some of them to, you know, around where the Giants are, and somebody wants to move up or down, and the Giants' top rating thing might be to trade out of there, that this receiver, like from LSU, might be available in the upper teens or lower 20s, and we could get possibly two or three starting players in this draft. Would you agree on some of this thinking?
Yeah, look, I mean, obviously, you judge the overall depth at the positions, and you hope you can get two or three starters. So, you know, if you think wide receiver is particularly deep and you think you can get a starter in the second or third round, it probably makes you less likely to pick one in the first, Joe. I agree.
I just, the way I'm starting to look at it, with these receivers, with these linemen that are available, and everybody has them up or down and stuff like that, that the Giants are in a good position that I really think that they're going to get two or three starting players there. You know what I mean? If they pan out, you know, but that are rated up there. So that's basically all I have to say. I think the Giants are in a real good position where they're at, you know, and that they should have be able to pick two or three of these top players. So.
Thanks for the call, Joe.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate
again
it,
for
buddy.
Okay,
you're welcome.
Bye.
201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Let's go back to the phones and say what's up to Tim in Jackson, New Jersey. Tim, what's going on?
Hi. What's nothing? I got a question for you. Instead of Taylor Lewan, Eric Ebron, or Mike Evans, should the Giants draft Zach Martin from Notre Dame in the first round?
Well, I'll tell you what, Tim. I think out of all the guys you mentioned, Zach Martin might be the safest draft pick. He's a guy that, you know, is a four-year player at Notre Dame. You know what he's going to give you. He can play guard and tackle. And, you know, he's a heck of a player. I mean, he's a good, good football player. And if the Giants pick him at 12, I think they'll get a starter here for a decade or more. I don't think they would regret the pick. Is he, you know, a super sexy guy with a monster upside? Probably not, but he's a very safe pick, and he will certainly help protect Eli Manning this year. So if the Giants come away with Zach Martin in this draft, I would be okay with that. I would not have an issue with that. Appreciate the call, man. 201-939-4513. John's down in Virginia. John, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing today?
Doing well, John. What's up with you?
Okay. Now, I got an opinion. Now, Sammy Watkins out of Clemson, the receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I know Hector Cruz is pretty high on him. Or Victor Cruz.
Yeah, Victor Cruz likes apparently Sammy Watkins and Mike Evans, as do most people in the draft. They all think they're the top wide receivers on the board, and they'll probably be off the board in the top six or seven picks.
That's what I was afraid of. But you also know that he is a veteran, disabled veteran.
Who's a disabled veteran?
Well, he was in the military.
Who?
Wasn't Sammy Watkins the one that was in the military? He spent 4 years in the Army.
I don't think so. I don't know where that came from.
Only reason he promised his buddy that they were supposed to go to college together, and he saw his buddy blown up. And it took him a while to get going, and he was a walk-on at Clemson, I believe.
Well, hold on. I'm reading Sammy Watkins' career history. Honestly, I've not looked a whole lot of Sammy Watkins' past career because I knew there was really no chance of him getting picked. But here's the deal. I mean, I'm just looking at some basic facts here. Sammy Watkins is 20 years old, and he was at Clemson for 2 years. So unless he was fighting at age 15 in Iraq, I don't think that's the case. I think you have him mixed up with somebody else.
But wasn't he the one that ran on the field on Veterans Day with the flag?
Because he didn't
serve his full 4 years.
I believe there is a different Clemson wide receiver that you're talking about. That's not Sammy Watkins.
Okay, I was double checking that.
Yeah.
Because I would have second thoughts about him if that was him.
No, that is not Sammy Watkins. That is also not the other Clemson wide receiver, Martavius Bryant. So that is a different wide receiver on the Clemson team.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I would have second thoughts if that was him.
Yeah, it is not. I think you're okay.
Because of the PTSD.
Right. I got you, John. You got anything else for me?
This guy, I always watch NFL AM.
Okay.
And that guy that does the pick in Mayock. And with Tammy and Tomlinson, he had a very good point.
What was that?
Mayock, where does he get his picks from as far as rankings?
He watches tape and he makes them himself.
I mean, he's never been a coach. He's never worn a jockstrap, been on the field as a player.
Wait. Tell me, time out. Mike Mayock's never been an NFL player. Really? He played for the Giants!
That's not what I was heard. That's not what I was told.
Well, you're wrong. Mike Mayock played for the New York Giants. He was a cornerback.
That's not what I was told.
Well, you're wrong!
I spent all of the 90s out at sea and everything. I spent most of the 80s out at sea. So I wasn't around.
I'm going to read you Mike Mayock's NFL career information. Stand by. Mike Mayock, born in 1958, played six games for the Giants in 1983, played three games for the Giants in 1982, has one kick return for 9 yards, and he played defensive back.
See, I was not in the country. So I have no idea.
Okay. So
I'm going by what else he said.
Well, LaDainian Tomlinson then has no idea what he's talking about.
But that's what he said on the TV.
Well, he's wrong.
So, I mean, what do I have to go by?
Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Jeez. John, I appreciate the call, but when you call in, have a clue, please, will you? I mean, you're wasting everybody's time. 201-939-4513. Avery's in New York. Avery, what's going on, pal?
Hey, John. God bless you. You need the patience of Job on here, don't you? Okay, then.
And Avery, the thing about it, I was trying to be nice, but then don't tell me I'm wrong. You know what I mean?
Because I just looked it up, and it says he was a safety with the Giants.
Exactly. He was a defensive back. I mean, look, if you want to call in and have a point, that's great. But if you have a real question, I give you the answer, then don't – if you don't know, don't tell me I'm wrong. If you're going to have a question, ask me, and I look it up and I'm telling you facts, don't tell me I'm wrong. That's going to get me annoyed because you wasted everybody's time. I got people on hold trying to get on the show here.
Gotcha. Well, anyway, I have a couple of points and
sure.
A couple of things to ask. One, Eli Manning, because I'm thinking about comment about having Victor Cruz about having another wide receiver, another playmaker. And I know he doesn't want to be double-teamed, but I think a big part of this is this as well. Eli Manning has that throw around every year around the same time, doesn't he? With the receivers, him and his brother, they bring all the receivers in for their teams, and they throw around and sort of get acclimated for the new year, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
why wasn't Reuben Randall there? Now, after Mr. Mara and Tom Coughlin were saying that they need him to be professional and all this stuff, and all the, why, outside of, excuse what I'm about to say, death and a major, major thing, why wasn't he there to throw balls with Eli during that time if they need him to step up and be more involved in the offense? Why wasn't he there?
Reuben Randall, they talked to him about this last week, and he basically said he wanted to be there, and he would hope that, you know, he had some personal issues that came up, but he couldn't make it. He didn't get into it any more deep than that. He just said he had personal things that he had to take care of, and he couldn't make it. He was planning on going. He wanted to be there, but things came up, and he couldn't make it. That was as deep as he went, and that was as much as he wanted to go into details in terms of the answer.
But, John, how many games that we watched last year where Eli was throwing left and he was running right, or Eli was throwing high and he's going low? How many games that we watched that were like that last year?
Too many.
And you had something else that was that important that you couldn't make it there to throw balls with Eli Manning, your quarterback, after the year that you had and all that? And Jarrell Jernigan, was he there?
You know what? Was Jarrell Jernigan down at Duke with Eli? I'm not positive. I looked at a couple of the pictures. I didn't see him in them, but honestly, I'm not positive about that. I'm thinking no, but don't hold me to that. I'm not positive. I would have to
double-check
it.
Well, these are the
it.
Things that give me pause. You know, you have the owner and the coach telling you need to step up and be professional. These guys are not around. Victor Cruz, I heard when he came to the Giants, Eli called him. He went running because he wanted a shot. And Eli, he went running. These guys, are they going to step up or what? This is in part, I'm sure, in part, sparked Victor to say what he said. We need to get another playmaker in there, someone who's serious that really wants to do the job. If you're a professional person, that's what you're supposed to do. And I don't think that these guys, it's like they have a cavalier almost attitude. And here we are trying. I mean, it's embarrassing. And also, as a professional, wouldn't you be embarrassed that you constantly on the wrong page with your quarterback, and everyone's mentioning it, and you still just don't show up because something's happening?
Hey, look, Avery, ideally, I agree with you. You want to have all the guys there. Now, I will say this. The overall effect of not being there, I'm not sure how high it's going to be, and here's why. Eli and the players and the receivers hadn't even been given the playbook yet. So it's not like they could sit there and work right on plays in the playbook. So I don't think him not being there is going to be some type of debilitating issue. Is it disappointing?
No, but
is it disappointing? And does it send the message that maybe
right
Reuben Randall should, you know, go out of his way to make his presence known there? If anything, for optics and, you know, his own, you know, reputation as much as anything else, I agree with you. I think he should have. But the practical effect of him not being there, I don't think is going to be that big of a deal.
My only thing is this, John. As you know, some things, they don't have a playbook because it's a new offense. I understand that. But some things are just symbiotic. You just sort of, it's sort of like Victor and Eli. Victor knows, they sort of have a connection. Sometimes quarterbacks and their receivers have a connection that may not be in, it's just not in the playbook. You just get an idea and get some sort of sense, I think, over time. Am I wrong about this? I don't know. Maybe I'm reaching here. Where you just sort of know things when you're around a person and trying to do what you can to sort of to become a better player. And it's things. And then also with Will Beatty, he gave me pause when his interview. I'm like, and then I'm hearing everyone say, well, maybe we need to get another offensive lineman. I'm like, and when I saw the interview, I'm like, We have basically 2.5 players on the offensive line that are decent for this upcoming year. Maybe we need to start thinking that way. I'm for the big play guy, but who would you suggest maybe in the second or third round that would be applicable, that would work with the Giants this year?
As a receiver or as an offensive tackle?
As an offensive tackle or O-line.
As an offensive tackle or if you want to look at a tackle in rounds 2 and 3, I mean, you have the Juwan James kid out of, I think, Tennessee, if I remember right. He's an offensive tackle that could be a second-round pick of Joel Bitonio, who can play tackle and guard. He could be a guy in the second round that you could pick. If the Cyrus Quanjo guy out of Alabama continues to drop because of his knee, if you want to roll the dice on him, he's somebody you could take, you know, in the second round. That's basically what you're looking at.
Yeah, because I'm thinking if you get a playmaker, we may need to get an O-line person, a tackle in the second, and then maybe get another, you know, if there's a tight end that's just drop down to the third and get that. Because it's like things like that, you sort of think, I understand where you're coming from, but sometimes things are not necessarily about the playbook all the time. It's just having a connection where you almost complete the person's sentence without them actually, you know what they're thinking. And, you know, you see Victor and Eli have that. Maybe also the guys haven't been around long enough. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but that's just my take on it. It may be something to it or not, but I just think that sometimes you just need to be around a person, you know, a while, like a mate, you know.
I hear you, Avery.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Thanks for the call, John.
Thank you for calling in, Avery. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, man. Have a good one. Bye-bye. And look, I think, yeah, there is certain something to be said for the more familiar you are with somebody, the more you work with somebody, the more you kind of get that instinctual relationship with them, which I think is a good thing. And now, much like I once said to apologize to Ernest, I will apologize to Joe. I was a little cranky when I had to do a lot of technical fixing before the show started. Joe, I apologize. I hope you call back. Thank you for calling. Oh, John in Virginia. I'm sorry. John, give us a call back. I apologize. I'll put you back on. Got a little upset there. Got a little cranky. It happens from time to time. Give us a call back, and we'll get you back on, all right? And by the way, no Jarrell Jernigan at the Duke passing camp either. Dan Salamone, according to NJ.com at least, Dan Salamone did confirm that for me. And also, Daniel Rodriguez is the Clemson wide receiver that was in the military and, you know, brought the flag on, all that stuff. So that was Daniel Rodriguez out of Clemson, not Sammy Watkins. And again, John, if you want to give us a call back, please do so. My apologies, I lost my cool a little bit. Let's go take one more call before we get to Dane Brugler from CBS Sports and NFL Draft Scout, and that's going to be Rocky down in Panama City. Rocky, what's going on, bud?
How you doing, John?
I'm doing well, Rock. How about you?
I just called to tell you you're wrong.
What's up, Rocky?
I was got a couple of things I want to run by you. I was thinking Ebron, I noticed he fell like to 17 on Mayock's big board, and Donald's like up there at 7. So I'm thinking Shakes might be right. We might be better off to get Donald then tight end and hope like Moncrief or somebody falls to us in the third.
Look, and honestly, I'm not even sure at this point. I can't even guarantee you Donald's going to be there at 12. I mean, he's a guy that's, you know, jetting up draft boards and, you know, might not even be there when the Giants selected 12 at this point.
Yeah, I noticed he keeps rising, and that's what worried me. And if Ebron fell that far, like I said, I kind of want Ebron too. But if both of them's gone, what do you think about Anthony Barr?
You know, Anthony Barr's a guy with a lot of talent. He's a pass rusher in a draft in which there are not a lot of pass rushers. But, you know, he's raw. He's a converted running back. He doesn't love contact. He plays 3-4 outside linebacker. He's a little undersized for a 4-3 defensive end. So I don't think he's necessarily a fit for the Giants.
I was thinking of Will, since Passenger and Williams act like they don't want the job. I would like to see Barr up there, 6'3", 255 at that Will spot.
I'm not sure if Anthony Barr, though, has the side-to-side agility and coverage skills to play a 4-3 linebacker spot. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. Well, I was hoping we might. I know they like versatility, and like you were saying, a converted running back, I was thinking, because he caught passes too and stuff, I was like, well, we might could be like Belichick and get a football player, you know, in case the injury bug bites us again.
Thanks, Rocky.
Like maybe line him up at tight end or something down by the goal line or something, you know.
No, but I appreciate it.
It was just a thought.
Thanks, Rock.
Right.
You have a good one, man. Appreciate the call. 201-939-4513. Dane Brugler from CBSSports.com. Draft analyst and from NFL Draft Scout will join us in just a second, and we will talk some NFL draft with him, and then we'll continue to take your calls at 201-939-4513. I want to try to take a different bit of a tact with Dane this morning. It's rather than going through some of the same stuff we talked about with Rob Rang last week, I'm going to ask a different type of questions that I think will kind of give us some good information still. They'll give us a little bit of different information than what we had with Rob last week. But we'll still get stuff that'll certainly help you figure out who the best guy is for the Giants to select at number 12. And then we'll kind of talk a little bit about rounds 2 and 3 as well. 201-939-4513. That's your telephone number. You can also hit us up on Twitter and join the conversation at hashtag Giants Chat. And now we are joined on the telephone by Dane Brugler. He is the NFL draft analyst for CBSSports.com and NFL Draft Scout. And Dane, I understand that you have quite an impressive draft guide out there. Why don't you tell the fans out there how they can go about getting that draft guide?
Good morning, John. Yeah, it's really my pride and joy. It's something I've been working on for the past 10 months. And so just follow me on Twitter at DP Brugler. All the information's on my timeline, my Twitter feed. It's only $5, and, you know, it gives you access to over 300 scouting reports, everything you need to know about all the main guys in this draft. And so the feedback has been awesome so far.
And I have every intention of downloading that as soon as I get off the phone and finish off the show today. Dane, thanks a lot for joining us. And you've done, you know, hours and hours and hours of work on these guys. We're finally about 8 days away now from getting this thing started. How do you see the first 11 picks going here before the Giants go with 12? Are we going to see three quarterbacks off the board? Are we going to see one? And who do you think is going to be off the board that maybe some Giant fans believe might be on the board when they selected number 12?
Well, yeah, the top 11 picks are going to be very, very interesting. I think it starts, you know, with the quarterbacks, like you said. Okay, how many quarterbacks will be off the board? I think there's a good feeling that Johnny Manziel will be off the board. But then, well, you know, is Blake Bortles still around? What other quarterback, Derek Carr, could end up going somewhere, maybe 8 to the Vikings? So it's going to be very interesting which quarterbacks go. And obviously the Giants are hoping, you know, 3-4 quarterbacks go in the top 10. That way there's better players fall to them at 12. And you look at it, the three offensive tackles, Greg Robinson, Jake Matthews, Taylor Lewan, I think there's a good chance all three are off the board somewhere in the top 10. And then Aaron Donald, you know, the explosive defensive tackle out of Pitt, you know, he's a guy that, you know, the Cowboys at 16 would love to have him there, but I don't think he's getting past 14. I don't think he'd get past 12. But now I don't think he's getting past. I don't think he's getting out of the top 10. He's such a talent. He's a guy, you know, at 8 to Minnesota. You could see that happening. Mike Zimmer getting his Geno Atkins in Minnesota. You can make a case for him going 5 to Oakland. I mean, every team has a need for a guy like Aaron Donald who can create that interior pressure.
Now, another guy that has been zooming up draft boards, and frankly, if we talked a month and a half or 2 months ago, a lot of people would have been like, well, you know what, at 12, maybe he's a little bit of a reach. But now I see him in a lot of top 10s, and that's Zach Martin out of Notre Dame.
Right. Zach Martin's one of my favorite players in this draft. You know, I just really appreciate his game. To me, he's a guard. I think there are a lot of people around the league that see him being able to hold up a tackle, and that's why he is so highly thought of. And like I said, I think the top three tackles, good chance they come off the board pretty quickly. And so Zach Martin's name, you know, he'll be pushed up a little bit because of that fact. And with Zach Martin, you're just getting, you know, he's very quick, very controlled. You know, he already plays at an NFL pace. You know, he seems to be one step ahead of rushers, very smart, very seasoned. You know, he started 52 games in Notre Dame. 50 of those at left tackle. So you're getting a guy that, you know, he's been around the block. He knows what he's doing. So it's really, I mean, you look at last year's first round pick for the Giants, Justin Pugh. Zach Martin projects as a better version of Pugh, in my opinion. So whether the Giants would look to plug him in at tackle or guard, you're getting a very safe, low risk prospect.
You know, one guy that I've seen, you know, predicted is going as high as 9 to the Bills, as low as 18 to the Jets, is Eric Ebron. How do you see him? Is he a guy that you believe can develop into a two-way tight end and block a little bit? We know he wasn't asked to do that a lot in North Carolina. And what do you consider his upside as a receiver? Can he be as productive as, say, a Jimmy Graham if put in the right system?
I think when you kind of compare Ebron to what he'll be down the road in the NFL, I think you look at maybe a Vernon Davis comparison. Because coming out of college, you know, both guys coming out of the ACC, both guys that, you know, had outstanding numbers at the combine, very athletic kids, you know, probably known better as, you know, receivers first. But at the same time, they're strong, you know, they can block. They just need some technique work in that area. So Ebron, he's going to make the spectacular catches. He's going to run like a receiver, be a matchup nightmare for some linebackers. But, you know, he just needs more consistency to his game, you know, not dropping the easy ones, showing a little more discipline as a blocker. as a route runner. So, you know, he's a young kid. You know, he just turned 21 years old a couple weeks ago. So just a kid that's really coming into his own. But, yeah, you're getting a guy that's an instant playmaker, a guy that's definitely helped the offense.
Do you think he could be a good value selection at 12, or do you like maybe some of the other wide receivers that might still be there? I'm assuming both Watkins and Mike Evans are not going to be there at 12. I'm talking about the Odell Beckhams, you know, guys in that neighborhood. Do you like a guy like Ebron better, or a guy like an Odell Beckham Jr. or a Marquise Lee or whoever, whatever other wide receivers you have in that second tier?
And first of all, I think that's a fair assumption. I do think Watkins and Evans will be off the board at that point. So if those two guys are gone, to me personally, I would go Ebron. You know, I think, you know, the whole goal of the draft, especially in the first round, make your team better. And I think Ebron absolutely would do that for the New York Giants. The receivers, this is such a deep wide receiver class that, you know, you can get Odell Beckham at 12. But at the same time, you could get someone very, very close to him in the second round or the third round. This wide receiver group is just the deepest we've seen in a long time. So I'd absolutely lean Ebron there at 12.
I want to stick in wide receiver. Who do you like in that group that could be there when the Giants pick in round number two? I guess we're talking about, you know, the Jordan Matthews, the Allen Robinsons, the Dante Moncriefs, you know, guys like that. Who do you like in that kind of cluster of wide receivers that you think would be really good value for the Giants in the second round?
I think Allen Robinson, you mentioned him, out of Penn State. You know, this kid had an outstanding career at Penn State. You know, with all the turmoil, some inconsistent quarterback play. But Robinson's production, you know, never wavered. It was the last 2 years he's been outstanding, over 1,000 yards both years. You know, he's a kid that he's not the fastest. He ran a 4.58 40-yard dash, but he accelerates well, shows a few different gears, good quickness, good strength. You know, he's a mature route runner. And so I think, you know, you're getting a guy that's reliable. He's going to be able to make plays and definitely someone to, you know, give a defense problems on the outside. But, you know, you mentioned a few other guys, and you really can't go wrong. There's definitely more than a handful of guys in that second-round area who should be considered. You know, Davante Adams out of Fresno State, Dante Moncrief out of Mississippi, Kelvin Benjamin out of Florida State. These are all guys. You know, Kelvin Benjamin could be a Plaxico Burress type of player in the NFL. So these are all types of guys that you can get in the second round, and that's exactly why I would lean, unless I'm Mike Evans, who was on the board at 12, that's definitely why I'm leaning wide receiver in the second or third round.
We're joined by Dane Brugler, NFL draft analyst for CBS Sports and, of course, NFL Draft Scout. You can go to his timeline and his Twitter feed, at DP Brugler. You can download his draft guide. And, Dane, I want to try to stick in the second and third round area here. The Giants do need some help on the offensive line, assuming they do not pick a Zach Martin type at 12. What interior lineman, either center or guard, maybe a guy that could play both, do you like as a day two pick that you think can step in, be a starter right away, and really make an impact on the interior of the offensive line?
Joel Batonio is a guy that, had to play tackle his entire career at Nevada, but he projects better inside. You know, he's tenacious, he's stubborn, he's a very sticky blocker, a guy that, you know, I think he does his best work in a phone booth. So, you know, you can plug him in at guard. A guy that I think has the right mentality for what the NFL wants. And then, say, you know, at center, I think Weston Richburg out of Colorado State, you know, he went to the Senior Bowl, had an outstanding week, you know, kind of separated himself as the top senior center. I think he'll contend with Marcus Martin out of USC to see who the first center is off the board. But with Richburg, you know, getting a guy that's he's country strong, he has advanced technique, the base strength that you want to hold up at the point of attack. You know, he's highly intelligent. He's just a model of consistency. So you're getting a guy that can be a plug-and-play type of player who can be a starter. And he's going to go somewhere probably in that second round. So I think the Giants would make a lot of sense there in that mid-second.
How do you differentiate that second group of tight ends? You know, Jay Samara will kind of slide out of the way. He doesn't seem like that Giants type of player. You know, plays in the slot, not much of a blocker. Of the three, C.J. Fedorowicz, Troy Nicholas out of Notre Dame, and Austin Seferian Jenkins out of Washington, how do you differentiate those three guys, and how do you break down and compare their skills at the position?
Well, I think all three of those guys bring something different to the table. Nicholas, this is a guy that 2 years ago was playing defensive end, playing linebacker, but he's when he gets into the league in a few months, he might be already considered one of the best blockers. And that's how good of a blocker he is. And he's still kind of learning. He's still getting better. He's a very, very mean, nasty type of a guy. He's still developing as a pass catcher. His route running needs work. He's not the fastest guy. But at the same time, he's a guy that's really coming into his own, who's, you know, really new to the tight end position. So you're projecting some upside there. Seferian Jenkins, you know, he's a basketball star on the football field. With him, the biggest worry is durability. You know, he had the foot injury. You know, is he going to be healthy enough? Is he going to hold up? He left you wanting more at times this past year. I think, you know, there is some underachieving traits there, and so you kind of want to see more out of him on tape. But I think NFL coaches think they can get that out of him. And C.J. Fedorowicz, you know, the top senior tight end we have this year, very underutilized at Iowa. You know, the production wasn't great. He only had 30 catches last year. But at the same time, you know, looking at the traits, looking at what he brings to the table, you know, he's just a very solid all-around player, a guy that can block, he can line up in line. You know, he's a 4.75 type of athlete, so not the fastest, but certainly fast enough for the tight end position, a guy that's reliable, is going to catch the ball. So Fedorowicz in that third, fourth-round range, a guy that, you know, you can't go wrong, just a solid all-around player.
All right, we're joined by Dane Brugler. He covers the NFL Draft for NFL Draft Scout, CBS Sports as well. You can follow him on Twitter at DP Brugler. And, Dane, I want to stick in the middle rounds here. And, obviously, you'll see a couple running backs go off the board in round two. Round three running backs, you know, the Hills of the world from LSU. You got the, you know, the big bruiser kid out of Boston College. How do you break down, you know, those round three, maybe early day three, round four running backs, where if you want to bring in a running back that can maybe, you know, be your 1A, 1B guy his first year in the league, how do you see some of those running backs that are going to go end of day two, start of day three?
Well, you know, this running back class is so intriguing because, you know, this might be the first time in NFL history we don't have a running back selected in the top 40 picks, which would be just unbelievable and kind of show, you know, the trend of running backs
right
in the league. But, no, I think you're absolutely right. There's going to be some definite talent in that third-round range that you know, can come in and contribute right away. One of my favorites is Terrence West out of Towson. This kid rewrote the FCS record books last year, 2,500 rushing yards, 41 touchdowns. He just brings a good mix of power, quickness. You know, you can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's developing as a pass protector. So he's a guy that I think would not shock me if he ends up being the most talented running back in this draft class.
Wow.
He's a guy, he's going to go somewhere in probably in that mid to late third round. So, you know, he's definitely a guy to keep on the short list. And then another guy, Devontae Freeman, probably in that fourth round. He reminds me a lot of a former Giant. Ahmad Bradshaw, you know, a guy that he doesn't look like much. You know, he's 5'8", 205, but he's a tough sucker. I mean, he sticks in there. He's going to pass protect. He's going to catch the ball in the backfield. He's going to get everything he can on the field. And so Devontae Freeman in the fourth round, Terrence West in the third round, guys that could come in and be instant contributors.
All right, Dane, I want to go through a couple guys that I would consider kind of wild card guys here in the first round. I've seen them going top 10. I've seen them dropping down as far as 20. One is C.J. Mosley. Obviously, I don't think anyone doubts his football skill, but how much of a red flag is one, size, and B, which is a result of that size, his ability to stay healthy in the NFL, frightening off some NFL front office and general managers?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. It's durability. He was dinged pretty badly at the combine for knee, shoulder, elbow issues. So it really comes down to, okay, at what point in the first round is he of value, and does that value supersede you know, the durability concerns? And so I think it'll end up being somewhere in the 20s, whether that's 21 to Green Bay, you know, maybe later in the first round to Green Bay or someone, a team like that. Or I'm sorry, New England or another team like that. You know, but C.J. Mosley, just from a mental standpoint, he's an extra coach on the field. He's very smart, very good in pass defense and coverage. He can play the run. He's always a step ahead. So, you know, from a skill set standpoint, you're talking about a top 15 guy. But the durability questions, you know, that's, you know, everyone ever steps onto a football field is at risk of getting hurt. But C.J. Mosley, especially, a guy that, you know, has had the durability questions in the past. And so that's something that teams are very wary of. And I think it's going to push him down a little bit, maybe out of the first round, but I still think he goes somewhere in those 20s.
And how about Anthony Barr? I mean, some people love his raw athleticism, his ability to rush the passer. But again, he's raw. He's only played defense end for a couple years. A lot of people don't think that maybe he loves contact as much as some linebackers or defensive linemen might like. And I think he was a former running back. Can he fit into a 4-3 defense? Is he only a 3-4 outside linebacker? What do you see when you look at Anthony Barr, and where do you think he's eventually going to land?
Well, you know, you're right. 2 years ago at this time, he was playing running back at UCLA, and that's the reason he went to UCLA, so he could play running back. And then they, you know, eventually moved him to linebacker. He had that outstanding year as a junior, 13.5 sacks. And then this past year, he didn't have a bad year. He still had 10 sacks, but he didn't take that next step in his development that you wanted to see. And so he kind of leveled off. And so the questions about his upside, that's when they kind of came up. You know, it's Anthony Barr, how much better can he get? And also, can he play with his hand on the ground? Can he be a consistent defensive end? Or is he kind of, does he have that scheme diverse ability, or should he have to be primarily in a 3-4 where he can stand up and rush from a stand-up position? And so that's the big question that teams are asking themselves right now. I do think some teams believe he can put his hand on the ground. I think if he's still on the board for Dallas at 16, I think there's a good chance he ends up there as a defensive end in their scheme. But overall, I mean, this is a kid that he's athletic. He brings a lot to the table. And you have to factor in that he's only been playing the position for 2 years. And so, you know, you have to think he will get better and grow at the position. So Anthony Barr, I think, is taking a little bit of a hit here over the draft process, but still a guy that's at the top half of round one caliber of player.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned Dallas, and now you're locating in Dallas. And I think Dallas is really one of the teams where they can go a million different places at 16. It would be great to let Rod Marinelli, you know, teach a raw guy like Anthony Barr, kind of, you know, teach him how to be a defensive lineman. What do you see Dallas doing at 16? Obviously, depending who's on the board, but what do you think their, you know, general outlook on the draft is, and how they're going to approach? We know Jerry Jones has often made trades to either move up or down in that first round.
Well, you know, the feeling I get is a defensive line or bust, and if say Aaron Donald's off the board, which I think almost certainly he will be, say Anthony Barr's off the board, do they reach for their next defensive lineman, whether that's a Timmy Jernigan, whether that's, a Coney Ealy, DeMarcus Lawrence? I think what they'll try to do what they did last year and move back a little bit. And, you know, that might mean not taking as good of an offer to trade back, but they'll definitely listen to offers and look to do that and, you know, go to the late first round and get their defensive lineman there. If they can't get out of that spot and they have to stay at 16, if Zach Martin's still on the board, that's a possibility. I don't think it'll be a safety. I think they feel pretty good about the safety situation on the roster. For better or for worse, that's kind of the feeling I get. But I think, you know, it's defensive line or bust. That's really what they're focusing on. They know they need to get better in the trenches, whether that's a three technique or an interior pressure or if it's an edge rusher like an Anthony Barr. So I think defensive line is really where they're looking at 16.
Two more questions for Dane Brugler from CBS Sports NFL Draft Scout. We thank him for giving us some time this morning. Very busy time of year for him. We thank him for giving us the time, doing an excellent job. Dane, one other guy, and I've seen – you know, guys like you, you know, people like me who look at this draft pretty deeply and they say, boy, Teddy Bridgewater is my number one ranked quarterback. I think he's a great player. But I think he's going to go in the second round now. What's up with the disconnect between what people see on tape and how NFL front offices are viewing Teddy Bridgewater? Why is he free-falling down these draft boards the way he is?
Well, I think, first of all, I think it's important to know that a lot of NFL teams weren't high on him to begin with. So
okay.
While he's falling for some, he's not falling for a lot of teams that who never thought of him as, you know, a top 10 type of guy.
Interesting.
And the biggest reason for that is his size. I think, you know, for better or for worse, NFL teams love the measurables. They want a guy that looks the part, passes the eye test, especially if they're going to be drafting a guy in the top 10 picks. And so Teddy Bridgewater looks like he's a wide receiver. In a lot of teams, that's an instant turnoff. I think Bridgewater has a little bit of an introverted attitude, and that's a little bit of a turnoff for some teams. Me personally, I'm taking Teddy Bridgewater top 10, and I feel great about it. But not every team feels that way, and I think there's an excellent chance he's still around in that late first round, early second round. But the tape, you know, you put on the tape, and it's outstanding. To me, he brings a lot of what, you know, Russell Wilson brings to the field, and that's efficient mobility. A processor that is able to understand what he sees, you know, goes through his progressions, make quick decisions, and just be very smart. The mental side of the game comes very natural to him, and that's that reason right there is why I think so highly of Teddy Bridgewater, and why I would, you know, of course you look at the size, it's not ideal. He's a guy that's never going to be consistently above 215 pounds, but he's a guy that I'm going to take a chance on because of what he brings from the neck up.
Dane, final question. I'm going to put you on the spot here. Give me a prediction. Who do the Giants select at number 12 next Thursday night?
You know, obviously it depends on who's on the board. It depends on who goes top 11 picks. But, you know, I'm going to say right now I'll say Zach Martin. It's a safe pick. It's a pick that, you know, plug-and-play type of player. And, you know, last time the Giants had a top 12 pick, it turned out okay with Eli Manning. So I think Zach Martin, you know, I think they'll hope maybe an Aaron Donald or a Mike Evans falls to them at 12. But I think they'll be off the board. So Zach Martin, definitely not a plan B to have.
Dane Brugler, NFL Draft Analyst for NFL Draft Scout, CBS Sports. You can follow him on Twitter, at DP Brugler, B-R-U-G-L-E-R. And there you can find the link to download his draft guide. Under $5, a lot of scouting reports, great stuff. You want to be ready for the draft next Thursday. Download it, it gives you some great information. Dane, thanks so much for the time this one. I could not appreciate it more. Let's catch up after the draft is over, and we know who the Giants have on their roster, all right?
Absolutely, anytime. Thank you.
Thank you, Dane. Great stuff out of Dane Brugler. Great draft analyst out there. You can follow him on Twitter. DP Brugler does a fantastic job. All right, let's go to the phones. You guys done a good job holding through that interview. Hopefully I got some good information and interesting stuff for you out of that spot. Let's go to Bobby in New Jersey next. Bobby, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's going on, John?
Hey, Bobby, how are you? I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm good. That was an interesting, it was a good interview with Dane.
Dane's great. He does a really good job.
Yeah, I had a question for you, a couple things, and a couple things I want to ask you after the Dane interview. What's your concern with Will Hill and the safety situation? Do you think that changes the draft at all?
I mean, I still think the team, quite honestly, and I think you can kind of a little bit go back in time here and say, well, you know what, maybe that's one of the reasons the Giants did, in fact, pick up Quinton Demps, because they knew Will Hill might have an issue here. At some point down the road. So I think the Giants feel pretty good about safety still. You know, you have Anchorol, you have Stevie Brown, you drafted Cooper Taylor last year. By the way, he's added about 10 to 12 pounds of muscle as Cooper Taylor. He looks great. They hope they can get something out of him this season. And then you have Quinton Demps, a guy who was starred in this league. So I think the Giants feel pretty good about their safety position right now.
Okay, any inside scoop from you? Do you know if are we done with Will Hill or – we're going to see, feel it out, you know what I mean, go on without him until the 8 games or if he appeals, or we're just cutting ties.
I mean, heck, you know, I mean, at this point, we don't even know how long the suspension could be, and I was talking to Tom Rock about this yesterday, Bobby. I'm not sure if you heard the spot, and really he's confused that we've even heard about this before the appeal's been heard, before the NFL announced the suspension. Usually you don't hear about this sort of stuff until after it's all been decided, so we're really just waiting and seeing right now. I mean, we don't even know, you know, if the appeal is going to get won. So I doubt very much the Giants would do anything like cut bait before an appeal is heard and the NFL makes a final decision. Once that happens, your guess is as good as mine. I would imagine if it's a full season suspension, it might be a spot where the Giants say this guy's more trouble than he's worth. Maybe we'll let him go. But you know what? I think we're just going to wait and see. And frankly, I wish I had a timetable for you. I don't even have that. Nobody seems to even know when we're going to have a final word on this thing. It sucks.
Yeah, I heard about it, and then, like, you heard a lot of news about it that day. It came out, and then just nothing afterwards. And, you know, I feel like if it's say, you know, how sometimes the athletes, you know, they use a cream or they're taking a medicine that's not necessarily doing something to enhance their play, but it has something in it that they didn't know. I feel like if it's something like that, we might give him another chance. I feel like if he's smoking pot again like he was, you know, a year or two ago when he got caught, I feel like then Giants just won't stand for that. They'll just cut ties. That's just bad news, you know?
I hear you, Bobby. And the worst thing you can do is have a guy on your roster that you can't depend on week in, week out. And that'll get you out of the league faster than anything else. And right now, unfortunately, if this does come to pass, Will Hill could be falling into that category.
Yeah, I hope not, because he had a lot of promise. I think they had him ranked, pro football rankings, had him ranked like the second-best safety in the league last year.
Yeah, he played great. And, you know, he was as much of a reason the Giants' defense turned around as John Beeson.
Yep. Another thing, too, I wanted to ask you was, you had to, when you were talking to Dane and you were talking a little bit with another caller earlier, what would you say, like how the one guy was talking about value, and I've called him before and we've talked about how I felt very strongly about Ebron. I still do feel strongly, but I'm, you know, I wouldn't be I'm hearing a lot about the Zach Martin. It's been going on for weeks, and I can't, you know, I can't refute anything that I'm hearing that I wouldn't be happy if we took him. But like the guy was saying, the core earlier was saying with value and what you can get second, third, fourth position wise and ranking them. If you had to do the, what would you rank our top three positions of need? And if they said, you know, John, here you go, you're in charge for our first, you know, our first three picks, you know, what do you think you would go if everybody was on the board that you wanted, besides like, I mean, I would love Evans, but I don't think he's going to be there. Everybody
right.
else, I think, realistically can be there.
Boy.
Besides Evans, Lewin, you know, I'm saying like Martin would probably be there, Ebron, Donald, you know, if you had your range of those guys, Odell Beckham.
Well, okay, Bobby, here's how I look at it. If I was to rate the Giants' needs in this draft, it would be as follows. You need a tight end, you need a wide receiver, you need an offensive lineman, and you need a pass rusher. Those to me are the four things. And frankly, I think you need to draft a running back.
In that order?
And not, well, I'll get to that in a second. I think you also need to draft a running back. So I think if there are five things you have to do in this draft, those are the five things you have to get at some point. Now, if I was to rank them in order of importance, here's how I would do it. I would say the most important need is a playmaker. Now, I will qualify that as either an Eric Ebron type, as a great receiving tight end, or I will qualify that as a wide receiver that can make plays. I think that's the most important thing you need. The second most
If Evans is off the board, do you think it's worth taking another wide receiver at 12?
I do not, and because I think you can find the wide receiver, much like Dane said. I think you can find a receiver that – you know, is not maybe as good, but nearly as good with your pick in the second round if you want to go that way.
He was right on with that. Yeah.
And I agree 100%. I think, you know, your next biggest need is an offensive lineman. So, and then I think your third biggest need is pass rusher. So the way I look at this is that if you draft, let's say, Zach Martin in the first round, right, I think your goal then, and I would understand that. I wouldn't have a huge problem with that. Like, you said, I don't think it's a great value pick because eventually if he has to play guard, you really want to pick a guard, you know, 12th overall. I get that argument. But if you pick Zach Martin in the first round, which would be okay, I would pick the best playmaking wide receiver you can find in round number two, whatever wide receiver that might be, and then I'd pick C.J. Fedorowicz in round three to fill out my tight end spot, and those would be my first three picks in the draft.
Okay. Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think that would be – well, too, I think if we go with Zach Martin, I feel like then when we come out this season, we're going to be relying heavily on the running game. And that kind of shows you that, yeah, we have McAdoo, but we're not completely leaving Tom Coughlin's, you know, power run game behind. If we go with Ebron, I think that'll help our – I don't want to say a safe pick, but it's a safe pick for the offense. I feel like with Ebron, the offense will have less problems, because you'll have extra places to go with the ball.
Right.
And like Dane said, which is I was so happy to hear him say, because everybody, no one talks about this, is it the fact that just because Ebron didn't block in college doesn't mean he can't block. Like you said it as well. He wasn't asked to. He was their main receiving threat in North Carolina. Why are they going to ask their best receiving threat to block? You know, he's a strong guy. He can do it. He needs to be taught at the NFL level. And then, you know, you develop him into a complete tight end. But by taking him, I feel like you shore up the weapons. You give Eli room, and you can get a guard in the second round to shore up that offensive line with Jerry and all those guys. And then, like you said, you know, you need a defensive lineman. I feel like we could always get a running back, like, real late when you see what we did with Bradshaw. I also like the guy, I think Mel Kiper keeps talking about, Dre Archer. He reminds me of, like, a Sproles type guy.
Dude, I'll tell you what, I watched Dre Archer on tape. That kid, he might only touch the ball 10 to 12 times a game. He'll be a return guy. He's not going to be able to rush the ball 15 to 18 times. But when he gets the ball in his hands, look out. That kid is ridiculously explosive.
Yeah, he'd be a beautiful compliment to Jennings, no?
Yeah, but you know what? I think
right?
I realize you can't depend on him, but David Wilson's still here. And I think that would be a bit of a duplication of the skills that David Wilson brings.
Yeah, very true, very true.
Thank you, Bobby.
Coming back.
I appreciate the call, Bobby. Thanks a lot, man.
Have a good one, John.
Hey, you too. Great call. Good information. Let's go to Anthony down in Florida next at 201-939-4513. Anthony, what's up, bud?
Hey, John. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Anthony. How's it going?
All right. Good. Let's talk about the draft here.
Sure.
He was just talking about the Archer guy. nobody brings up DeAnthony Thomas, the Oregon running back.
Anthony Thomas is another guy, much like Dre Archer, who is smallish. He's going to be maybe bit player is the wrong way to put it, but he'll be that change of pace guy that can do returns, he can catch screens, mm-hmm. he can run draws, and be that type of utility guy.
I'm just very surprised that, like, when you look at the mock drafts, they don't even have him going in, like, the third round or something like that, not even in, like, the first couple rounds.
Yeah, I mean,
Running backs. Yeah, I know he's like a tiny guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think running backs just aren't valued as much as they used to be, Anthony. I don't think there's anything against him. Heck, Carlos Hyde, who is, I guess is consensus number one running back in the draft, or Bishop Sankey, depending on who you talk to, mm-hmm. they're not supposed to go to the middle of the second round. So I think you just look at it, running backs just not having the value they used to.
Yeah, I just think if we're going to go running back, it's going to be like a smaller type of guy because we already have Jennings. And that's Coughlin likes big running backs. He don't really like small, fast, speedy guys. So Jennings is 230 pounds. So he's like a pretty big running back that we already have. So I'm thinking if we're going to go like running back in like the later rounds, it should be somebody like that, like a small type of speedy, somebody like that.
Yeah, see, honestly, I think Rashad Jennings, even though he's not, like Darren Sproles, David Wilson, speed and explosiveness, he's so good in the passing game, and he is good running draws. I almost would like to pair him with a between-the-tackles, big power back. And I realize Peyton Hillis is here. I'm not sure how much he has left in the tank. So if you want to put him, Rashad Jennings, as – not your change of pace back. He would still be your number one running back. But if you want to pair his 1B and make his 1B guy a power between the tackles guy like an Andre Williams out of Boston College, Jeremy Hill out of LSU, I almost think that's a better fit than trying to match him with a speed guy.
Right. All right. Let me just talk about the first pick now.
Yeah, sure.
At 12, to me, it's got to be Ebron. It has to be because – they don't have a tight end right now, and Zach Martin, he's a good player, but I, for some reason, I just don't think they're going to take the offensive lineman in the first round. I just think it's too high to take a guy like that, and they need a playmaker. Like, when they had Chalky, it took a couple games to get going, but, like, in the first, toward the end of the year, when Chalky's first year, that was his best year for probably because he had like 70-something catches, almost like 900 yards. And like the whole offense changed when he got there. And to me, I think Ebron could do the same thing. Plus, it's going to help Cruz. He's not going to get the double teams. And I just think that Ebron has to be the first pick.
Hey, look, Anthony, I happen to agree with you. Thanks a lot for the call, pal. I appreciate it. And here's the basic reason why I've landed on Ebron. And honestly, when I first mentioned Eric Ebron, a few weeks ago, I thought I would bounce off of him eventually and kind of move on to somebody else. But here's why I haven't. To me, the drop-off from Ebron to the next group of tight ends is bigger than the drop-off from an Odell Beckham to a Davante Adams or a Dante Moncrief. It's a bigger drop than Zach Martin to a Joel Bitonio or a David Yankee or a Xavier Sulofilo, however you want to say the guy's name. To me, that's the bigger drop-off. And Ebron is more of the unique talent than those other guys are. I think you can get guys can do the job that a Zach Martin can do or a, Odell Beckham can do in the second or third round. I really do. I think you can find the guy that's nearly as good. But I believe you have a, legitimate downgrade if you pass on Ebron in round one. Thanks a lot, Anthony.
All right. Thank you, John.
Have a good one. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Shakes in Baltimore. Shakes, what's going on?
Nothing, man. It's raining. It's killing me
out here. Dude, it was raining cats and dogs up here in New York, too. It's brutal out. It's supposed to be this bad today and tomorrow.
It's springtime, man. What's going on?
I don't know.
But I got questions for you.
Okay, what do you got?
Got a few questions, man. Just to feed my knowledge and my info, I just need to know these things.
By the way, Shakes, I do see you on Twitter trying to scheme a way to trade up without, trading away your second-round pick. It's not going to work. It's not going to work, bro.
That's my question. All right, here you go. I'm going to just lay it on you. All right. Now, let's say if you're – who has the fifth pick?
The fifth pick in the draft belongs to the Oakland Raiders.
Perfect. Okay? They owe us anyway.
Why do the Raiders owe you anything, Shakes?
They owe us because they take all our talent. They learn from us. We are Oakland's farmhouse, okay? We are Oakland's farmhouse. They look at us. They imitate us. They emulate us. And they owe us. They owe us a cup. They owe us a booth. They owe us for everybody else in the past.
Hey, just remember, Shakes, you guys got Brandon Myers from them last year. So, you know, that's a pretty good trade.
Man, no, we want a refund for that. But here's my question. Okay, Raiders. Say if you're the GM of the Raiders, right?
Yeah.
And New York Giants come to you, and they say, we'll give you the 12th overall pick. We'll give you the third-round pick of this year's draft, fifth-round pick of this year's draft, and a second next year.
Oh.
You'll take it.
If you're getting a second next year, too,
mm-hmm.
I think you're getting close. I think you're getting close.
It will entertain you, right?
I think they think about it, and then I think they'd say, well, if you're going to give us a pick next year, we'll take your three this season, keep your five, but give us your one next year.
Mm. But see, fifth. If I do that, Watney should be still on the board. Because I don't know, like, you know, I'm trying to get Evans, all right? But another first? I think I'll be like, no, I'll stay at 12 with that. But I'm just, that's an entertaining offer right there, though, John. You know what I'm saying?
It's not crazy.
Right. Okay. So I'm not jumping on the limb while saying that then.
No, I would not classify that as being crazy.
Okay. All right. Now, my thing is with this. Now, the guy that was on, your guy from whatever site that was, and he had high praise for Fedoric. So.
For who?
And you, Fedoric, CJ Fedoric.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
Titan.
Yeah.
So you said it's not a big jump ball from Nicholas to Fedoric.
I don't think so, no.
Big. So if we get that playmaker in the first, we get something like Yankee in the second, get Fedoric in the third, and then my man Storch in the fourth. Ooh, that's a good little draft, ain't it?
I would be fine if that's the way the draft worked out. I'd be good with that.
Yeah, I like that. This draft, man, is driving crazy, man. It's just too long.
Let's make some picks already. I'm tired of waiting. That's why I'm so cranky every day. That's why I yelled at poor John in Virginia. I feel terrible about it. I screamed at the guy. I'm ready to make some picks already.
Yeah. It's time, man. This is too long. And then they talking about I heard rumors. I don't know if it's true, but that it might be even longer, like 4 days.
I don't want to even. I don't want to think about that. If Commissioner, please do not make me work this stupid draft four straight days next year. Give me Sunday off, please. Let me stay home on my Sunday. I'm begging you. It's Mother's Day. Don't make me on Mother's Day go to work. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, I feel you, man. I feel you. Hey, John, quick thing. Did you check out the promo for my show?
You know what? I saw you teasing it online. I did not take a look at it yet.
Please check that out for me, man.
Okay,
please.
Will, do me a favor.
Yeah.
Do me a favor. For all our listeners, check out hashtag Giants Chat. Shakes is going to put up the link in a few minutes, and you can check out the promo to Shakes' show.
Thanks, John. Thanks, man. Thank y'all. Just look out for my show, and thanks for taking my call, John.
Thanks,
man.
Shakes.
I'm going to talk to you tomorrow, man.
I appreciate it, man. And don't be taking listeners away from me, Shakes, because I will throw you off
the
show.
Oh, no, man. No, man, because I'm going to still come on BBK and still rep it hard, man. Even in the promo, I'm repping BBK, so don't worry about it.
All right, brother. Thanks, man.
All right.
Shakes is funny. 201-939-4543. Let's stick to the phones. Kenny's down in Florida. A lot of Florida callers today. Kenny, what's going on, pal?
Not too much, man. Love the show.
Thanks, Ken.
Giants fan, faithful listener, but I'm a first-time caller.
Well, thanks for calling in, Kenny. I appreciate it. And thank you very much for listening.
No problem. I got a question.
Yeah.
Number one, I think Ebron's going to be gone by the time we pick at number 12.
I'm about 50-50 on that right now.
And then I would say if we happen to miss on Troy Niklas in the second, what do you think about a wild card, like in with our second, fifth-round pick or maybe somewhere after that, you know, our sixth or seventh-round pick with that Colt Lyerla? I mean, he's every bit as fast as Ebron. He catches the ball well, fiery. Great run after the catch guy, capable blocker, just kind of as a wild card guy. And I was thinking like a third round, Dominic Easley.
You know what? I've seen, apparently Easley had a medical checkup a couple of days ago, if I'm not mistaken. I think Brian Broaddus, who works, he's a former NFL scout. He works for DallasCowboys.com. Honestly, guys, I know you hate the Cowboys and everything. If you check out some of his stuff, he gives some great, like, scout breakdowns on some of these players. And he was saying the other day that Easley actually looked really good, and it looks like he should be back at some point during training camp, coming back from that torn ACL. So, honestly, I think Easley might be gone in the second round at this point. If he's there in round three, though, Kenny, I think that would be a pretty good flyer as a potential pass rusher at a defensive tackle. As for Colt...
He has an amazing first step.
No, he really does. And, you know, he was ranked just below Clowney before that injury this year. So, I mean, he was considered one of the best pass rushers in college football until that injury. Now, as for Lyerla, here's the thing. There's a couple things with him. Number one... he's very talented. He has a lot of physical ability. When he's dedicated and he has his head in the game, he can be a heck of a player. Now, he has some issues off the field that are problems. Can he stay out of trouble? You know, he left Oregon because of quote-unquote circumstances. Police saw him inhaling a white powdery substance at some point. He admitted the substance was cocaine. So he had his driver's license suspended after receiving 4 driving tickets. So this kid's a bit of a wild card off the field, and that's why he's, you know, considered to be a day 3 pick instead of a day 2 pick. So that's the definition of a flyer. Are you willing to take the chance on the kid's problems to see if he can, you know, help you on the field?
Gotcha. And I guess the other person I was thinking about was Telvin Smith out of Florida State, like to possibly either step in and play that bigger safety role if Will Hill happens to get suspended or gets released due to his issues, if they're substantiated, or even play weak side linebacker, you know, which I know is size issue, but I mean, he's a heck of a player.
Yeah, you know what? I love it. Here's the thing about Telvin Smith. I love him as a football player, and everybody that watches him play football loves him as a football player. He's physical. He runs to the ball. He's active. He loves to hit. You know, everything you want to see out of a linebacker, Telvin Smith does. He's fantastic. He really is. That being said, like you said, his size is an issue. I don't know if he can play weak side linebacker in the NFL. Is he big enough? Is he fast enough and have the movement skills and the ball skills to play safety? I don't have the answer to that. Telvin Smith, to me, is a football player without a position. Now, you can argue a guy with those type of instincts and that tries that hard can find the position. No matter where you put him, he'll figure out a way to be effective. But can I use even a fourth-round pick on a guy like that? I'm not sure. I think it would take a lot of very good and inventive coaching to figure out a way to use his skills. Because there are skills there. It's just a question of how they translate in the NFL and to what position.
Great, man. All right, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for the call, Kenny. I appreciate you listening, and I'll call back anytime. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Roy in South Carolina. Roy, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, John?
Doing great, Roy. How are you?
Good. I got draft overload. I'm ready for the draft. Let's move on.
Seriously. By the way, for those of you out there that don't have draft overload, Tony Pauline, who's been doing this draft stuff for 20 years, will be joining us on tomorrow's show. So just FYI.
Oh, there we go. I'd like to get his perspective. That's good.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, well, you know, I want to change it up a little bit. You know, last year we had a lot of changes with regards to the way players hit each other and you know, some of the rule changes. And, you know, that's kind of affected the way some of the players are used to playing. And I understand the safety issue and everything. But, you know, a friend of mine and I, we were talking about, you know, you look back 10 years ago when these guys were really big and they were hitting hard, and I understand the concussion issue, but what happens if we decide, if the NFL decides, you know, the last thing I want to see is the NFL turn into flag football, obviously.
Right.
And but what happens if we if the NFL decides to put a cap on weight? I mean, do you think that that would give the players, okay, so instead of a guy being 340, 330, 320, 285, let's limit the weight, say, 250. It would make it, I mean, you look at the guys who play rugby, these guys have, they don't hit, of course, like NFL players.
I
but,
think almost
you know,
what you,
think,
I think what you'd almost have to do is limit weight by position. And I don't think that's something that's ever really going to happen, to be honest with you. What I think is going to happen eventually, to be honest with you, I think they will eventually move away from the hard plastic, you know, helmet. I think they're going to move away to a softer helmet so guys are less likely to lead with their heads and they would cause less damage when hits are made. I mean, they could even go to the point where they get rid of the face mask, to be quite honest with you. You know, if you get rid of the face mask, guys are going to think twice about, you know, leading head first into people's knees. What happens if you get kneed in the face and you break your nose? You know, are you going to lead with your head and hit somebody else in the face if you don't have a hard helmet or a face mask? To me, that's where we're going. The NFL was around for a long time with guys not wearing face masks and not wearing hard plastic helmets. And I think eventually...
Exactly.
That's where we're going to end up again. And I think that'll be good for the game, to be honest with you. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
I will agree. With, you know, especially when, you know, NFL in its infancy, they all, you know, that's why they called them leatherheads.
Right.
Because they wore leather helmets. You know, because, you know, football fans, they want to see football. You know, we and you know, one of the things that, that I think was I think it's an important issue is trying to clip somebody at the knees, you know, and trying to take out a defender or just trying to take an opponent out at the knees. And I think that's what's the word I'm looking for? Gosh, I can't think of the word anyway. But you know, that should never be allowed, of course. But I think that you know, maybe putting a weight limit on and going positions is really good because you got some of these guys, you know, when they start building up speed and they're 285 pounds, they're coming at you. And, you know, I always think of Brandon Jacobs. He was like a freight train when he started running, and so you know, just something a little different other than the draft thing. I thought I'd throw that out there.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the call, man. I like the thinking outside the box.
There we go. Have a great day.
Hey, you too, man. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. We have two more calls before we say goodbye. All the way out on the West Coast is Alberto in San Diego. Alberto, what's going on? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, John.
Good morning.
Hey, quick question. So I had a the more I look at these mock drafts coming out, it seems like they're changing every day now. The more I'm looking at it, the more I'm trying to think of a Ebron scenario for us at 12. And correct me if I'm wrong. Looking at the lineup, is Ebron predicted? I've heard a lot of people saying, you know, Ebron's not going to be on the boards at 12. The numbers that I'm looking at, the teams I'm looking at, is 9 through 11. Buffalo, Detroit, Tennessee, in that order, prior to us picking.
Yeah.
Which is everybody looking at either one of those teams taking Ebron?
The team that I've seen rumored to pick Ebron is the Bills at 9, but a lot of rumors are coming down to that the Bills might be looking to trade up. So take that for what it's worth. And remember, I think there's only been one draft since like 1995 where there hasn't been a trade in the top 10. So someone's probably going to move. It's just a matter of who.
Right. Okay. And that's another thing. That was my next question I was getting ready to ask you. At the beginning of the show, I heard you talk about Buffalo, a scenario moving up. Now, Buffalo also, you know, my favorite thinking, I'm looking at Buffalo. I'm not even sure if they've made a move at safety. They got rid of, they let Jerry Bird go over to the Saints. Do you foresee them maybe looking at, if they stay at 9, maybe taking a ha-ha Clinton Dix at 9?
You know what? I still don't think safety is a first-round option, to be honest with you. I think 9 for Clinton Dix is a little high. I realize they lost Jarius Byrd, and Clinton Dix is a good player. I'm not saying he's not. I think that's a possibility. I just think there are better players you can get at number 9 if I'm the ones making the picks. To me, Clinton Dix becomes an option when you get to that 12 to 15 area. I wouldn't pick him higher than 12.
Okay. All right. I'm just trying to come up with scenarios here on how we can land Ebron. I'm big on him. I'm hoping that they'll pull the trigger on him. Hopefully, he'll be there at 12.
Well, Alberto, honestly, the easiest way Ebron gets to the Giants is if 3 quarterbacks go in the top 11, which I still think is a possibility despite all the rumors and news that are out there. That's number one. A second way he gets to you is if all 3 offensive tackles, and I mean Robinson, Matthews, and Luan, all go in the top 10. And then a lot of people think Zach Martin might sneak into the top 10 as well. So if you get 3 or 4 of those guys going, I think there's a pretty darn good chance Ebron drops to you at 12. And I realize I said before it was a 50-50 shot Ebron will be there. Honestly, I think it's more of a 70-30 shot that he'll be there. I think Ebron will be on the board at 12. That's my feel for it. Now, it's draft day. Anything can happen. Who knows? But that's my take.
Absolutely, absolutely. Pulling for Ebron, then thanks for having me, son.
Hey, thanks for the call, Alberto. Appreciate it. And please don't send in that long-distance phone bill. That's all you.
Gotcha.
Thanks, Ben. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. I'll go right to Sal. We'll make him pay. Joe in Florida, you're our final caller. It's apropos we end in Florida. We've had about half of our calls from down there today. Joe, what's going on?
Hi, John. This is my first call through to you. I've been trying to get through, listen to you every day, but I haven't had an opportunity to talk to you until today. So what I wanted to ask you was, and I was seeing this on on my computer here, a guy by the name, a tackle by the name of Moses out of Virginia. Who is he?
Morgan Moses is a guy that's kind of ran up draft boards a lot over the past couple of weeks. He's your traditional left tackle. He's very tall. He's got long arms. He's got good movement skills. And I don't want to scare Giants away with this comment, and it's not meant to, but he is, in terms of body type and athleticism, he's a Will Beatty type in that he projects as a good pass-protecting left tackle. And that's the type of player you would get if you draft Morgan Moses. And I've seen him go as high as the teens in a couple recent drafts I've seen.
I see. Okay. The other thing is there was a guy, I think he played defensive end for Missouri, Michael Sams?
Yeah. Michael Sam, he was a pass rusher for them, obviously, and obviously off the field stuff when he came out as being the first gay player to make it into the NFL, at least trying to get drafted in the NFL. Here's the deal with Michael Sam. Michael Sam is a specialist player. He's going to be a situational pass rusher. He's probably too small to play a 4-3 defensive end like the Giants would need. He's more of a stand-up pass rusher. So I don't think there's much of a fit there for the Giants, Joe.
Yeah, and if he goes at all, it'd be late rounds, right?
I would say Michael Sam's probably somewhere between rounds 5 and 7.
Yeah. Okay, well, like I say, John, I enjoy listening to you, and I hope we do. Hope that the Giants do well in this draft. I've been following them since, back in the Taylor days, the Homer Jones, and then Fran Tarkenton, and I used to say... on Sundays, I watch the Giants, and it's called Fran Tarkenton is the star, Run for Your Life. And he used to do backward figure eights to get away from guys so that he could throw a pass. But I really enjoy the Giants, and thanks for taking my call. I'll be listening to you.
I appreciate the call. Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for reaching out, Joe. Appreciate it. I think that was... Joe on Twitter, I saw. I responded to his Morgan Moses question the same way I did on the air. So a couple other questions from Twitter. I tried to answer some of them online. Alex Curtis, I've never seen him tweet us before, so I'll try to get to his here. At Xander Caged, Tampa's interest in Manziel is very real, according to reports I've heard. Likewise, chances Evans gets past them and then to us. Even if, to me, Mike Evans gets past Tampa, Buffalo, if they're there at 9, I think they would take Mike Evans. I know they have a couple good young wide receivers there, but I think Evans gives them a little bit of different effect with that size and reach. I mean, it, look, I said there's a 70% chance Ebron will be there at 12, and I still believe that's the case. I'd say, 10% chance Evans is there. 15 if I'm in a good mood, which I'm not. That's how I look at it. Everybody, good job on the phones. Good job on Twitter. I will be interviewing Tony Pauline later on today. I'll record the interview, play it back tomorrow for you guys on Giants.com, and we will discuss everything in the NFL draft. So if you want, send me some questions you want me to ask Tony Pauline on hashtag Giants Chat. I'll try to get to him when I interview him later on today. And then tomorrow, we're only 1 week away. 7 days out tomorrow. Thank God. Let's get this thing going, please. And by the way, Lance Meadow will be with us on Friday co-hosting, so we can have some fun with the little guy. Everybody, good job. 9:30 tomorrow morning, Giants.com. Be there. Big Blue Kickoff Live. See you then.